Black men like to claim the house when they're drunk. Men, period, I think, man, like to just claim their house. They want you to know if you're drunk and if they're drunk and you in their house, that is their house. My father stand up in the middle of the cookout and say, "It's my house." You know what it is? And if you don't like it, you get the fuck out. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. I pay the motherfucking bills in this motherfucker. And hey, kiss my ass if you don't like it. Yes. Yes, motherfucker, yes. But you know what it is? You know what it is? I'm drunk. So what? Beautiful. I'm drunk. I'm drunk. So what? I'm drunk. You know what? I got drunk in my motherfucking kitchen. I was drinking out of my glass in my motherfucking house. So fuck it. Then he attacked the whole family, right? He said, Gus, ask a question. Come here. Ask a question, Gus. Gus, let me ask you a question. Gus, why is the fire so big? Why do you make the fire so big, Gus? Look at that shit. It's a motherfucking ridiculous, Gus. The fire's too motherfucking big. Why? You come in here every motherfucking year, Gus, and you burn down my motherfucking backyard. Why? I'm cooking motherfucking hamburgers in Frank's. I'm not cooking the motherfucking brontosaurus burger in this motherfucker. This ain't the motherfucking Flintstones, Gus. My house, motherfucker. Look at Charlie standing over there with third-degree burns on him, eating a motherfucking Frank. It doesn't make sense. No, but you take things too far, Gus. You take things too far. I tell you go an inch, you go 3 inches. I tell you go 4 inches, you go 5. Give a nigga rope, you wanna be a cowboy, Gus. Why don't you listen? Oh, Eddie, get that motherfucking dog away from my plate. I'm gonna shoot this dog. I'm gonna shoot the motherfucker. Shut up. I'm gonna shoot it. Stop crying. Stop crying, Eddie, because you can get the fuck out. You can get the fuck. I know you're 7. I know you're 7. But you'll be a 7-year-old walking the dog, no house motherfucker. Because it's mine, motherfucker. I hate this motherfucking dog. But you ask me for the dog, you don't spend time with the dog, Eddie. You don't feed the motherfucker. You don't pet it. You don't even know what the fuck the dog's name is anymore, do you? The dog don't give a fuck. He don't know his name. The dog is 3 years old, don't know his name. Watch this, Coco, where the fuck is he going? The dog's stupid because you don't spend time with the motherfucker. I'm supposed to work hard all day. I come home and feed the motherfucking dog. Fuck no, I'm not feeding the motherfucker. You know what I do? When nobody's home, nobody's home, you know what I do? I go up to the dog and I kick the motherfucker. I kick the motherfucker with everything I got, Eddie. And then I giggle my motherfucking ass off because I hate the motherfucker because you don't clean up behind it. Why can't you clean up the motherfucking... This ain't Scooby-Doo, motherfucker. Why can't you clean the dog? The dog shits all over the house. If no one tells you, Eddie, you don't clean the shit. You let the shit stay forever. The shit that been in the den for 6 months, Eddie. It's been in the den for 6 months. Your kids go past it, you act like you don't see it. And unless you're told, you won't clean the shit. The shit is hard as a rock now. It's like motherfucking furniture in there. I went in last week to watch the fights. I said, fuck it, I put my drink on top of it, Eddie. It's a coffee table now. Why can't you clean up shit? My friends come over and say, oh, that's lovely. I said, that's not lovely, it's a piece of shit. But my children don't listen. Then my Aunt Bunny would fall down the steps almost every year. Ever have a heavyset aunt fall down the steps? Make a whole lot of fucking noise. It's scary too, because they be calling Jesus on the way down. And aunts don't like to fall straight down the steps like a kid. They be trying to break the fall and hold it and stop the shit. And that just make the fall take a half hour then. Real loud, yeah, like.
Lord Jesus Christ, help me, Lord, please, Jesus, please. Jesus, God, help me, Lord, Jesus, help me. I'm falling down the steps, oh, Lord Jesus Christ, please. My shoe. I'm halfway down now. Help me, Lord. Lydia!
What is all that fucking noise? Lydia, the bitch is falling down the steps again.
Oh.
Gus, what the fuck is wrong with you? about your wife? Why can't she walk a flight of steps? You come over every motherfucking year, Gus, and you burn down my motherfucking backyard, and your wife rips down the steps. Why? I work hard to get my place beautiful, and then the motherfucker come over and rip the steps down. Look at the motherfucking steps, they're fucked up, Gus. Why can't she walk in steps? You know why your wife can't walk in steps? Because she's a fat, hairy bitch. That's why, Gus. And my children are afraid of your wife. Eddie's afraid of her. He has nightmares about your wife. I went in his room last week, Gus. He was in the bed screaming, crying. I said, oh, help me, help me. I woke up, I shook him, I said, what's wrong? He said, Aunt Bunny is coming to get me. He's afraid of your wife because she has a bigger mustache than his father. But you know what it is, Gus? I figured out about your wife. And I'm going to say it. And my wife, I don't give a fuck what my wife says. She can shut the fuck up. I'm going to tell you something. I figured out about your wife. I know where you met your wife. You told me you met your wife 15 years ago on a motherfucking camping trip and that your wife was Puerto Rican? Your wife ain't no motherfucking Puerto Rican. I thought she was when I first met her, Gus. Because I walk up, I said, hello, it's good to meet you. My name is Vernon. And she said, hello, I'm Bunny. Goonie Google. What the fuck does Goonie Google mean, Gus?
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Hello there. You are listening to Dutch and Royce on MoreLikeRadio.com.
All right. Hey, everyone. It is Tuesday night, 10 o'clock on the Eastern Coast time here on MoreLikeRadio.com, which means it's time for Dutch and Royce. Welcome to the show. I am Joel Dutch Van Wingerden here with Royce Lopez.
Yellow.
Marie Lopez.
Hello.
Sherry Dahl.
Hi.
Johnny Cakes and Zari.
Green.
And super producer Mitch Heil.
Oh, hello there.
Did you notice that Dutch and Royce now is now the show with the most people? And it's like Hippo Juice and Dutch and Royce have reversed
each other. We've kind of flip-flopped, haven't we?
Which doesn't matter, but it's just funny that it's happened.
Yeah, because when DNR started, it was literally
just us.
Dutch and I. It was just Royce and I.
Yeah.
And just bullshitting about nonsense.
Yeah. And guess what? Now it's a lot more people bullshitting about nonsense.
So, our number is 9.
I mean, if you want us to stop, we can.
No.
Our number is 954-573-2780 if you all want to bullshit with us.
John has like the lowest self-esteem on the planet. Like he immediately went to, I mean, if you want me to stop, I'll stop. Like, relax.
No, dude, I can leave if you want.
No,
I wasn't speaking literal. I was hypothetical. I was being joking.
I think, hypothetically, could you shut up for a second?
No. Can you literally shut up for a second?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I don't know what these words mean anymore.
You're right.
If you guys, like I said, MoreLikeRadio.com/live and listening to the podcast and you want to join us, like I said earlier, it's from 10 to midnight here on MoreLikeRadio.com/live and follow us on our Twitters and all that kind of happy horseshit fun stuff, tune in radio, blah 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 plugs.
I'm always excited when we have Hammy in the chat room because I love Brain Stew and I do listen to his show all the time. You can listen to it right before us on BrainStewRadio.com. And then see that I know you have to do a Sophie's Choice when Johnny Five comes back because he's taking a big sabbatical. I guess he's boycotting the station because of the Oscars. And
is that what happened?
Seriously? Don't know. I'm racist. Racial. I'm more racial. But anyway, So I told him if
you
want.
Can you believe that became a thing?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that. I mean, I was just frustrated.
Yeah, and we Chris, get into that.
Yeah,
later.
And Chris Rock was like, "Fuck you! I don't care."
Yeah.
Chris Rock's the only one's like, I don't care. Like, none of this matters.
Yeah.
It's like if you're making money and getting paid, then your point is mute.
Well, no, here's the thing is it was guilty white people the ones who were bringing it up. Like, hey, why isn't there any minorities being nominated for Best Picture this year? Well, I don't know. Maybe because the movies that were nominated and had the best actors or actresses didn't. For whatever reason, didn't happen to have.
You had Crash.
Why does it fucking matter?
You had Crash a few years ago. Relax, and Precious. But anyway, look.
But Dutch is absolutely right on that. Like the first one that started it was this dude that does this blog called 60 Second Reviews, and he is whiter than a piece of paper. And he's like, and he's apparently he was the voice of the black community.
I was gonna say, and the majority of the black people were like, we didn't notice, and we don't like. care.
Well, that's now.
This isn't the point where we would rather have it where people didn't notice because we're all equal. Like, isn't that what we're trying to go for?
Now Jada Pickett Smith and Spike Lee and a few other black actors and actors are boycotting the Oscars because of this.
But doesn't Spike Lee always boycott the Oscars?
He always has a problem. He's just jelly, bro.
Yeah, he's peanut butter and jelly.
What's the last good movie that he's made? Like, I know Spike Lee has made good movies. Like, I don't like him as a person, but he is a good director, you know?
Yeah.
Is he, though?
Yeah. He is. I mean, he is.
He's good.
Name the last good movie. I'm trying to think.
I am not saying, but has he directed anything? And I'm not even, you know, I don't know if I'm being... If I'm guessing here, because he might have new movies out that I don't know about, because I'm not, I wouldn't.
Have you seen Inside Man?
No.
That's not terrible. It had, it was a Denzel Washington, Clive Owen, Jodie Foster.
Right.
I saw it on TV a couple of weeks ago. It was pretty good. 25th Hour was pretty good.
Right. Oh, 25th Hour was good. Yeah. That was Ed Norton.
And these are all his movies?
He also did like a World War II biopic movie as well.
25th Hour was Ed Norton. Patrice was in it.
Was he?
Yeah, he was a door guy. He had like a whole scene with Ed Norton. But yeah, no, that movie was good. And that it wasn't even a racial movie. See, because that's the thing. When you think of Spike Lee, you think of his racial movies, which they're good. They're not bad. But
those are literally the only two movies he's done that I've seen.
He's done a lot of documentaries lately.
He directed recently
Michael Jackson's journey from Motown to Off the Wall.
Excuse me, Marie. Homosexual Town. Don't say it that way. It's right. It's just not right. You want people boycotting
such
our show?
Stretch.
It's 2016, Marie.
Motown. Motown.
Oh my God.
When was the last time you referred to a gay guy as Mo?
Dude,
like, he's a Mo.
Probably elementary school.
That's
if I'm really going that far back. But we want to be. Listen, you know what? Old racist words are still racist. Doesn't make them any less racist.
Well, I guess it depends on who's saying them.
That's a good point. I mean, well, it depends.
It does.
But
if Spike Lee says it.
Spike Lee.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, say totally whatever fine. He wants. He's got
a pass. He's fine. Well, no.
We were playing Eddie Murphy at the top of the show, and he had a whole bit on that same album about like how this old Jewish guy called him buckwheat one time.
In all fairness, he did portray buckwheat in an SNL skit a couple of times.
Hammy's like, we talked about this on Brain Stew. Skype in, Hammy, I already told you,
No, he doesn't get to do two shows at once.
But then, like, the whole thing about the Oscars, people were talking about the supporting actor from Star Wars. I'm like, he didn't really have that big of a part for him to negate any sort of role.
Well, you're talking about Adam Driver?
Yeah, Adam Driver.
He hosted SNL this week.
No, you're talking about
I'm not talking about Adam Driver. I'm talking about Finn.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Right.
Now, the only thing I would say, if we're going to try and include anybody, and I don't know if it was too late because the movie just came out, but... Hateful Eight with Samuel L. Jackson.
It was a little too late, but they made it in time to get an Oscar nomination.
It wasn't his best movie.
I don't think it would have worked. It wouldn't have won anyway.
It wouldn't have won it. No, I mean, it's not bad. It's just, and I love Tarantino, probably one of my top three directors, but you know, sometimes he gets too into his head where he wants to pay homage so hard that it becomes an actual old Western. And you're like, what am I watching?
I was very on the fence with Hateful Eight. I've seen it twice now. I watched it with guys in Brant's, and then I watched it once here, and I'm still on the fence with it. Like, I don't know if I like it or not.
There's a lot of dialogue that's really funny and good, but...
You're gone somewhere.
Yeah. Huh? There's a lot of dialogue that's really funny and good and stuff, but it's, you know, honestly, cut 40 minutes off of it, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe then, but it was too long.
Yeah, it was a little long. It was a little drawn out.
And you know, the thing is, Tarantino makes long movies, but this isn't like his other movies, you know, where Pulp Fiction was long, but there was like 5-6 different stories going on.
And it was interweaved and like just the snapshot type of nature of the storytelling.
This
kind of made it compelling. This one was a little...
See, I kind of put this one up with Jackie Brown. Like, I don't know if I like it or not. I've seen it a whole bunch of times, but it's not one of the ones that I am going to like. You know what I want to watch right now? Jackie Brown.
Well,
you know, like I'll watch Pulp Fiction or I'll watch Reservoir Dogs, but that was a weird one.
Yeah, it's like Jackie Brown. You have to be in like the mood for it.
Yeah.
Well, no, right. I mean, that's what I think he tried to do with this movie. Hateful Eight is basically Reservoir Dogs in the Old West.
In the Old West, yeah.
Because it's one location primarily.
Yep.
You know, the whole one room thing, and don't get me
centered
wrong,
around a core group of characters, and then just a whole lot of dialogue. And a lot of like crazy action. But that was the thing about Reservoir Dogs. They didn't show the action scene.
Right.
Hammy, what do you think about the Oscars?
They had it like after the fact, like running away and making a getaway.
They showed everything but that.
Yes.
Hammy, what do you think about the Oscars?
They're totally racist and they should be boycotted.
There we go. All right. I'm glad Hammy is
You know what? I'm done with this, and I'm not going to watch the Oscars now.
Hammy, just because you're
absolutely shouldn't.
Hammy, just because you're dating a minority, you don't have to show off.
Half minority.
Well, whatever. You know what half I'm talking
about.
You're
dating an Oreo?
Okay, so you can watch half of it then.
Yeah, of course. Hammy's new girlfriend is half something. She's very pretty, and they always, the half and halves, man. They absolutely always become models.
Oh
right?
Yeah, you want to have a hot kid? It's breed true. It with something else, yeah.
You know?
Maybe.
It's like evolving Pokemon,
Yes, thank you. Yes,
there you go.
You just got to keep training them and win badges.
Is she a fire type or a water type?
No, she's a grass type.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Which is fantastic because that'll wipe out everybody.
Yeah, really good defense.
You guys were discussing The Hateful Eight. Yes. I actually fell asleep twice during The Hateful Eight.
Mm.
I fell asleep once they were talking to the guy who claimed to be the sheriff. And when they just got to the cabin, I was like, okay, this is really, really boring. But then when it finally picked up, I'm like, okay, this is typical Tarantino over-the-top violence just because the first 2 hours were boring.
Now,
it could have been shortened dramatically.
But by the way, and I'm going to say this, gratuitous use of the N-bomb.
Oh, too much, dude. Way too much.
Gratuitous. I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, I don't care that they use it. Tarantino's known for it, but it kind of just felt like they said it more than in Django.
Like
exactly
forced almost. But here's the thing is like he always does that thing like, look, this is how they probably talk back during that
I'm
time.
I'm sure they did. You're right.
But I like the fact that early on, Kurt Russell, when they first dropped, the nigger word in the movie, he's like, he wasn't 100% sure. He's like, I don't think they really like being called that anymore. I think they like being called black or something.
Even then, yeah, that was funny.
That was a really funny line. He's like, I'm not sure they like. He wasn't really sure, but he was like, whatever, I'll just go. They don't care.
The part
has anybody gotten a word count yet on that movie? Like how many times they dropped it?
A lot.
A lot.
Wow.
I will say so. The part where Sam Jackson's character talks about making the. How can I say this without giving away any spoilers? The general, how he made his son suck his dick in the snow.
Oh,
that part made me laugh hysterically.
Yeah, we did not give away spoilers.
Well, whatever. You know what? It's
how do I say this?
It's been out long enough now. I think it's been out long enough.
I haven't seen it, but it doesn't matter.
Since Christmas? Yeah, you could talk about it.
Yeah, it's cool.
Well, it's not a movie that's going to, it's not a huge spoiler that's going to ruin the movie for you.
It won't ruin a movie.
It was good. Walton Goggins, the guy who played the sheriff, I liked him a lot. He was good.
He was actually my favorite.
Yeah, he was a really good actor. If you haven't seen it, watch Justified. That's where I know him from. And that show is really good because of him. He was also in The Shield.
I wonder if his teeth are fake.
No, those are his real teeth. He also plays the transsexual in Sons of Anarchy.
Yes.
The one with the big fake boobs.
And he was in The Shield.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Also, The Shield.
And he was also the hotshot all-star baseball player from Major League back to the minors.
Holy shit, that's too much. I didn't go that far.
I had to because I always see him as that.
Well, he's just one of those guys that's in like every other movie. You're like, I'd seen that. Okay,
he was in Django, too.
I can answer your question. In The Hateful Eight, they said the N-bomb 47 times.
That's it?
That much over a 2.5 hour time?
Felt like it was a lot more than that.
How many times did you say it in Django? You go and look while you do that. But, yeah, I mean, you know, some of the scenes I still think about, like when Kurt Russell was vomiting blood, that was really funny. But yeah. But again, it felt like they could have. I feel like an asshole. I don't want to. He's Quentin Tarantino. I'm not trying to tell him to fucking direct a movie. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it as a viewer, they could have got that same that entire same story across in 40 less minutes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it would have, I think, paced it better. It was just a little, you know, he was filming two small details. You know what I mean? Like,
oh,
I don't know if there's any truth to this, but I heard, like, you know, he always had the same female, the same woman was editing all of his movies beforehand. Well, she died, so he had a different editor. So
aww.
It could have been something to do with that.
Possible.
Yeah.
Possibly.
I would say Tarantino's last great movie was Inglourious Bastards.
Yeah,
Inglourious Bastards.
Don't get me wrong, I liked Django, but it wasn't nearly as good as Inglourious Bastards.
Inglourious Bastards was great.
It's true, you know, and I'll go on a sometimes we go on a Tarantino binge and just start, you know, watch all his movies, like, you know, every time we're on Netflix or whatever. But yeah.
Here's the counter argument to that though, Hammy, is a lot of people said that Brad Pitt hammed it up, no pun intended, like for that role. Like he was too much over the top. And I'm like, no, that he did a Tarantino type character that was a little over the top and it worked.
While you guys were discussing the Oscars, did anyone, I just bumped into like the last 10 minutes here. Did anyone discuss The Revenant yet?
Marie and I just watched it.
And what do you think?
Heard of that too.
I thought it was really good.
I thought it was intense and I thought it was amazing.
I fell asleep.
I did not fall asleep during it, but I was not as riveted as I was throughout The Martian.
Yeah, we also saw The Martian.
Oh, but The Martian, I think, was an overall better movie, but The Revenant was intense.
Yeah, no, it was, you know, that scene, and this really isn't a spoiler at this point, because it's been all over the place. But
the bear rape?
The bear attack
was crazy.
It looks so real. Dutch, have you seen it, Dutch?
No, not yet. No.
The bear attack looks so real that at one point, like, you're covering your own neck. You're like, this is bad, you know?
That was the one part I did really like. And I did think it was very well shot and very pretty.
Mm-hmm. It was a good movie. It's just what, I don't know. It's probably going to win.
Yeah.
I think from a production standpoint, and I think, Mitch, you would probably agree with me on this too. The fact that the director, I can't even pronounce his last name. I'm not even going to try it. But he didn't use any artificial light. Every single lighting that was in this movie was done by natural sunlight. He didn't use any lighting. And I like that.
I was actually reading about that not too long ago. Apparently he did everything. That it took forever and like an extra like $40 million to make because of that fact. And because I guess they weren't getting the proper snow. So they picked up the entire set from Canada and they moved it to somewhere in Europe where they had snow.
Yeah.
Which like extended like the didn't Tom Hardy not do Marvel?
DC. He had to pass up the Suicide Squad because
Tom Hardy.
He had to pass it up because of the film, the length of time that it took to film this movie because of that director and how picky he was about lighting.
Tom
and
Hardy.
Not to mention, he shot everything in chronological order. He didn't shoot like scene 8.
Are you serious?
Scene 1.
Oh,
yeah,
wow. That's like never done.
No, the last time I did that was with that movie with Russell Crowe where he was like a genius that forgot everything.
Oh, Beautiful Mind, which actually
they
won
shot
an Oscar
that all in chronological order.
Well, they usually don't shoot it in chronological order because it doesn't make financial sense to do it.
Guy did it because he's an artiste and he wanted to do it properly. And
hey, if you have a studio that's willing to shell out that money, why wouldn't you?
Oh, this is the same guy that did Birdman, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't like that movie.
God, I hated the drums.
Tom Hardy was the best part of The Revenant.
Yes.
I think.
Absolutely.
He was, and I like Leo, but he blew Leo out of the fucking water in that movie.
So then who do you think's
gonna
win an Oscar?
I'm going to stick my bear on you and rape you.
You see that's the thing. I wasn't until halfway through the movie I looked it up. I go, that's Tom Hardy? No, because he looks so different, you know?
Do you feel in charge?
Oh, God. Yes, Marie.
Do you feel like you're going to win an Oscar?
I also got nominated for Mad Max. Did anybody else know that?
Yes, he did.
I'm going to win an Oscar, and you're going to be standing next to someone with an Oscar.
Fuck it, DiCaprio.
Yes, Marie?
You should name your son Oscar so someone can hand it to you and say,
I've named my three dogs Oscar because that's how many I'm going to get this year, and you're going to have a zippy time.
Are you guys done?
Leo.
Yeah.
Oscar lies.
Yes, Marie Lopez. I'm going to beat this one into the ground.
How would you feel if I gave you a Oscar Mayer hot dog and handed you an Oscar? Would that make you feel like you're
it's
in
the most
charge?
Amount of Oscar that you're going to get, DiCaprio?
When a colored wins the Oscar, then you have my permission to die.
Damn it, you took my line.
We need to get a megaphone for John.
I'm in a soda can.
And Oscar the Grouch will be your new co-host.
Okay.
Mrs. Lopez?
Oh, I just wanted to correct my numbers from before on the N-bombs. I found another article that said the Hateful Eight had 65 N-bombs, but Django had 99. Django had more than
Hateful
Eight.
Where's the body?
99, yeah, but then again, Django was about slaves, so it should, you know?
Hmm. Right.
I guess that would have more.
What's it going to take for DiCaprio to finally get one?
An arm and a leg.
Okay. Apparently.
Lo and behold, I have an arm and a leg right here.
I will say this. A person who is going to win Best Actor, I think.
You are?
God willing.
As a person.
Who's nominated for Best Actor is Eddie Redmayne, who's in The Danish Girl, and it's about transitioning from male to female because he's transgendered. I got a very funny feeling that's going to win Best Actor.
Well, dude, if we know anything about the Oscar voting block, is that they love race and gay.
Yeah.
But what about trans?
It's a hot button topic.
Wouldn't it? Yeah. So more than likely that's going to get it.
Just like how 12 Years a Slave won because of the topic. I mean, I saw the movie. It was a good movie, no doubt. But really, Best Picture? No.
Yeah, I mean, that goes back to the whole race thing. Like, you know, movies are nominated when they're good. Yeah, look, can you make an argument that there should be more black directors and more black? Yeah, okay, fine. That's fair. That's a fair argument.
But it's not the Academy's fault that no good Academy-worthy movies came out. It's called casting.
I would argue. Yes.
Happened to come across
It's called a team effort, son.
I would argue that I saw, Marie, sorry, I saw it last night. I saw Creed.
Why?
I'll watch it again. It was really good. I'll watch it. Actually, I'll watch it again whenever you want. No, that Creed movie, even if you fucking hate Rocky movies,
is great.
Man sounds like a retard.
It was a really good movie, and that should have got nominated for an Oscar, and Straight Outta Compton should have got nominated for an Oscar.
Yes. Well, sure. I think Will Smith should have gotten nominated, too, for Concussion, because that was a really damn good performance.
I haven't seen it.
Sherry, you've never seen any of the Rockies, right?
No.
But she did like Creed.
I did.
Yeah.
I had a couple questions.
With arms wide open.
Yeah, there's some questions. Yeah, because they had some throwbacks to the original Rockies, but for the most part, you know, the movie was just a really good movie, you know,
and it was excellent.
It felt as good as Rocky One, you know.
I'm enough with Rocky. From Philadelphia, and I'm Dutch, saying enough with fucking Rocky.
Dutch, watch Creed.
No, I'm not going to.
I promise you, you'll like it.
Because I'm boycotting the whole Rocky anything.
Dutch, it should win an Oscar.
I hate Sylvester Stallone because of the whole Rocky thing. And the fact that my town's biggest sports figure and has a statue is on a guy that isn't even real.
What about RoboCop, DC, or Detroit? They have a statue.
What about it? I'm talking about Rocky.
Hey, nobody asked you.
But look, first off, so Stallone's in it, and you'll like Stallone in this one. Trust me, it's really good.
I'm not going to like it. I'm not going to watch it.
He passes a torch, dude. It's really...
The torch should never have been passed because there shouldn't have been anything made past Rocky One.
Hey, you know, this fight, I don't like it. I'm going to give it to you, you know. Hey.
Rocky can suck my dick the entire thing.
Hey,
I hate it.
Hey, you know, if the money's right, hey, you can see where this night's going. You know
dumb,
what I'm saying?
Retarded boxer. Who gives a fuck?
Dutch, since we were talking about movies, Adam Driver, the guy who played...
Kylo Ren.
Kylo Ren in the new Star Wars movie was on hosted SNL this weekend.
This and was great.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
He filmed. We'll play the whole thing. That's how good it is, I think.
Bobby Moynihan is my spirit animal.
Yeah, he filmed Kylo Ren.
Are you an inner fat kid?
Being
maybe.
I definitely was. But it's him going to undercover. I beat you to it. Undercover boss on SNL. So you want to watch it?
Yes.
Sure. Each week, we follow the boss of a major organization as they go undercover to find out what's really going on in their company. This is Undercover Boss, Star Killer Base. Kylo Ren is the commander of the First Order, a massive regime dedicated to wiping out the Galactic Resistance. This week, Kylo is going undercover among Star Killer Base personnel as Matt, a radar technician.
You get so caught up in restoring the galaxy to its rightful state that you miss what's going on behind the scenes. I'm looking forward to having some real talk with some real folks.
Can I say I love that
he had the uncomfortable like stand and not knowing where to look.
Yes.
That
yes.
thing got
it
perfect.
Was great.
We've put hidden cameras in an employee common area, and no one has any idea that Matt is their boss, Kylo Ren.
Hi, I'm Matt. I'm a radar technician. You guys like working here?
You know, work is work.
Yeah, totally. What do you guys think of Kylo Ren? Do you guys believe when he says that he's going to finish what Darth Vader started?
What exactly has he started?
You know, I will say this for Kylo. I think he gets a bad rap.
What?
Yeah. He's trying to accomplish something that's never been done in the history of the galaxy. You know?
Ridiculous.
Rule everything? That's impressive. I admire the guy.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, it's real easy. All you gotta do is rewire the calcinator.
So remove this?
Does that look like the calcinator? What's wrong with you? Why is it so hard for you to understand?
I don't know, but can you please stop yelling at me? You're starting to stress me out. I have a newfound respect for what my employees do.
Okay, now can we rewire it, please? So I can go have my muffin. I haven't had my muffin yet, Matt. It's
angry, overweight black woman rules.
What up, Matt?
Kick the wrench away.
Hey, you kicked my wrench. Jerk face. Have you guys seen Kylo Ren's lightsaber?
Yeah, man, that thing's weird looking.
No, it's not. It's awesome. Here, let me go see if I can find it. I'll show it to you. Look, I found Kylo Ren's lightsaber. Look at it up close.
That thing looks dangerous, man. Poorly made, like a little kid made it.
Then you don't have to look at it anymore!
I'm 90% sure Matt is Kylo Ren. Yeah, this is actually been a rough year for my family. We lost our son back in April. He was in the Stormtrooper program, and we're getting by.
Oh, man. Sorry about that. Must be hard. Hearing that Zach lost his son really struck a nerve with me. Especially since I'm the one that killed him. Hey, I ran into Kylo Ren in the bathroom. He told me to give you this.
After the rain comes the rainbow. Sorry, I killed your son.
This means something to me now. A buddy of mine saw Kylo Ren take his shirt off in the shower, and he said that Kylo Ren had an 8-pack. But Kylo Ren was shredded.
What? Your friend's a liar, man. Kylo Ren is a punk bitch. That guy looks like he weighs 30 pounds soaking wet underneath that little black dress.
Tim? Tim!
Oh, no, he's choking on food. I see what's in your mind. And it is...
Dude, Matt straight up sucks.
I have a bombshell announcement to make, guys. I'm not Matt. I'm
Kylo Ren.
Kylo Ren.
You're Kylo Ren.
You're Kylo Ren. We know. I knew when you threw me through the soda machine.
I knew from, hi, I'm Matt.
We really connected today. I'm promoting you to
superior officer.
Thank you, sir.
I had a blast today. I really learned a lot. And people are gonna love the new me.
Very funny.
It's very rare that Saturday Night Live makes me laugh, but that made me laugh.
Yeah,
Thing is that the last bunch of bits or anything we've played from SNL have been the pre-tape bits, never anything they've done live.
Right.
Yep.
I'm trying to think of the last thing they did live that we actually played.
I don't know. I don't even recognize the new cast at all. I'm not saying it's good or bad. I just don't. This weekend though was Mad TV's 20th anniversary. And they had like the whole cast reunion. I think it was on CW. I saw some of that. Matt TV,
because they're all available. They're not doing anything.
Matt, that's not true. Key and Peele are from Mad TV, and they're pretty fucking big.
I just want to say this: Will Sasso has been on this season of Shameless, and he is fucking hilarious. Like he plays
Mad TV.
Yeah. This was me. Yeah, we're talking about Mad TV people.
I thought we said SNL.
Well, no, I just said Mad TV's reunion.
Oh, wow, I just where's the beef? I'm sorry. Jesus, I'm sorry.
Dude, you beefed.
But Will Sasso plays this, like, racist, homophobic, Greek, white trash guy, and he's just fucking swearing and cussing and being a piece of shit, and it's hilarious.
I got to check. I like Will Sasso.
It's a 180 from, you know, whatever you would have thought him from Mad TV.
I like Will Sasso. I think he's pretty funny.
He's got a lot of sass.
Oh. Yeah. He was.
And a great ass.
Oh.
He was on an episode
of. Oh, my God. Both of you, stop.
I shouldn't joke about this. I did this.
Anyway. Yeah, that's all I had. That's all I had for my.
Oh, what did you guys do this weekend?
Oh, what did we do this weekend, right?
I was going to say.
I forgot. What did we do this weekend?
I lost my voice while watching my Packers get eliminated from the playoffs.
In my mind, I heard I lost my virginity because I stopped listening after I lost.
Oh, God, Sherry.
I saw me some.
After his marriage, you might as well have had it back.
Very Dutch, true.
I saw me some white trash rock.
Yeah, that's right. John was telling us before the show he saw Saliva at a strip club.
Yeah, if you guys... just tuning in, you didn't hear the last part of last week's show. We delved deep into white trash rock, and you actually went and saw like who were like the forefront runners of white trash rock, Saliva, this weekend.
Yeah, and then there's like two other bands, but one of the other bands, like, I couldn't recognize, like, I'm like 50% positive that the band originally started with Brandon Lee.
But the dead guy from Crow?
Yeah, because I asked the door girl, I go, hey, so who else is playing besides Saliva? Like, oh, this band called the Dead Man's Gambit. I was like, okay, who are they? Like something about the movie The Crow and an actor in it. I'm like, Brandon Lee? Like, yeah, I think he's in it. Like, you know, he's dead. Yeah, they're called Dead Man's Gambit. I was like, oh, thank you.
So why is Saliva playing in strip clubs, huh? Because they're so good?
Because I guess they got an album launching in March, and I guess they're touring around the country at different strip clubs.
Oh, God, I can't
because
wait.
Because they're hitting their target demo, obviously.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, they hit everything so hard. Thing is, like, I was skeptical to start filming video. I mean, I ended up filming a couple clips when...
Are you kidding me? They would encourage you. Be like, oh, my God, please film. Put something on YouTube to let people know that we're still alive.
Well because it was South Florida. It's a strip club and they have like no video recording at all, you know, unless if you're, you know, if you work for the venue.
All right.
So, but then I noticed everyone was just doing it willy nilly. I was like, okay, so there's a couple shots where I'm actually filming Saliva, but then you see like a montage of just strippers, just Cirque du Soleil on one pole. Like there was one girl that was like doing like a split on the top of a pole and she was juggling. I was like, what the fuck?
Okay, so I see their gimmick now is they go to strip clubs and they say, strippers, do your act still while we're playing.
Well, I mean, they did have two stripper poles on stage, and so they had girls doing that. And then there was the main stage, Because the place was really small. So I was like, how are you going to fit a bed? Oh, I see. They put it on top of another stage. So whenever I go to see like a rock show, I go to, you know, an actual rock venue, not a strip club.
Did they play Click Click Boom?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they did. They did all the hits, and they even covered TNT by AC/DC, and they mixed that in with a Led Zeppelin song.
Because they're qualified to do that.
So what do they do for the rest of the 50 minutes?
talk about drinking, and they were talking. There were a couple of times like in between breaks of songs. They're like, whoa. Hey, let's get up to these girls. And the girls had no show. They're so used to just like dancing and doing their thing. But when someone acknowledges them with a microphone, it's like, you're not the DJ. I don't know what I'm doing. It totally throws them off their game.
So it was sounded like a fun white trash time.
Well, the first two bands were atrocious. So if Saliva wasn't playing, I would not be there. But so I was actually because how they sound, all the other bands sounded, they sounded like a cover band. And then Saliva actually had like they had their own engineer mic them and everything, and they sounded just like their CD. So it actually sounded pretty good.
Yeah, but they don't sound good, so I don't believe that. Like their music's awful.
What do you mean? Are you rocking right now?
No, I'm not.
My foot's tapping.
I don't like that we've talked.
That's because you don't drink enough water.
We have talked about Saliva two shows in a row in 2016.
I sent you a screen cap, Royce, of all the Papa Roach songs I
have
in my iPhone library.
You fucking hate Hammy.
Jesus.
He sent me a screen cap this week, and he texted me. He's like, he sent me all his Papa Roach and White Trash songs. I wanted to murder him.
Oh, no, dude. I wanted to. I think we even said it on the air last week when we were going through all the White Trash bands, how much I wanted to kill Hammy. He's like, oh, yeah, I have that. Oh, yeah, I love them.
I have a purse signed by the members of Papa Roach.
Why do you have that?
Because when I was a teenager, I happened to be at the Sawgrass Mills Mall in South Florida, and they just happened to have been sitting outside right before they were about to perform somewhere. I don't even remember where. And I wasn't prepared, but I was like, hey, you're Papa Roach. Sign my purse.
You have nothing else to sign.
I had nothing else. I'm like, you can sign this. It's a cheap purse. I still have it. Just in case Papa Roach gets real big. I don't know. It was probably like 2000.
Marie told me, by the way, another fun Marie fact. Marie told me this weekend that she couldn't get, when she was younger, she applied to Cold Stones.
Oh, yeah.
And didn't get hired.
When I was in
singular.
Sorry,
Cold Stone.
When I was in college looking for a job, a part time job.
A job.
I applied to the Cold Stone Creamery over there, and I didn't get it because it was an audition for personalities, and apparently my personality is not akin to a Cold Stone Creamery person.
Marie doesn't have the personality to work at Cold Stone.
Just sing sporadically for no reason.
It was like a lineup. Like all the people were there at the same time auditioning, and they gave us like little games and stuff to do.
Was like Cold Stone the new hot job in town?
Like a focus group?
How old were you?
I don't know. I was like a freshman in college. It was before I got my job at the UF Computing Help Desk. So it was like 2003, 2004.
Yeah, that was right around the time that they started exploding everywhere.
Exactly.
So maybe, yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, you have to sing and dance on command. And so they didn't care about your ice cream dispensing skills or mixing skills. Or
proper, you know, like cleanliness etiquette.
They only cared about how bubbly you were and how good that you'd be able to pick up and do songs.
God damn, you know, it's funny because I was listening to a comedian, and I wish I could remember who it was, but he was talking about Cold Stone, and he was like, you know, you walk in, there's like five people working in there, so you give a dollar. And
it was Aziz Ansari.
Aziz Ansari, yeah, and he goes, and they all sing for a dollar. So basically, 20 cents each, they sing. If you go outside and tell a homeless guy, I'll give you 20 cents if you sing until you get the fuck out of my face. I'm not doing that.
That didn't sound like Aziz. Ooh, man, you know, you gotta do, gotta talk like this. You gotta go, hey, man, you gonna give me a dollar? Not gonna make you do this. I'm Aziz Ansari.
That's pretty close.
Sounds really good.
I don't know, man. We listened to his stand-up. And
don't even work on that accent or that impression. You have it nailed.
Yeah.
I think everybody has it nailed.
You should probably work on it a little bit. He was being sarcastic.
Yeah, we listened to his stand-up, and it wasn't bad. It was pretty funny.
He's all right.
No, his stand-up was pretty good.
Was it a new stand-up?
It was new. His story about meeting Kanye West was fucking hilarious.
I have heard that one.
That one is funny.
Yeah.
It was the stand-up intimate moments that we were listening. It's not bad.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
But yeah, he was totally dragging on Cold Stones, and I was like, yeah, I know. I went through that, and they didn't hire me. Riz is like, why didn't you tell me that?
Yeah, like there are certain restaurants or whatever, like Joe's Crab Shack was like that for a while, where it was you didn't go because you liked the food or the ice cream or anything like that. You went because there was a gimmick or some sort of like a personality based thing. Because Joe's Crab Shack, they used to, instead of like, you know, how
if it's
your birthday, they come around, they happy birthday. It wasn't just that. They got on top of the tables and were like grinding your face and going like, this is a crazy party we're having on in here. Like they tried to have like some sort of a weird like frat boy vibe to Red Lobster. So there was that. Yeah. Cold Stone was like that. Jimmy John's is sort of like that, because every time you walk in the door, you get berated with, welcome to Jimmy John's, and they're just screaming at you every time.
You know what used to be like that? It's not so much anymore, but remember when the Hard Rock Cafe first started, was big? All the servers, like they were the first like restaurant where all the servers dressed all rocked up, you know, spiky hair, and hey, what's up, bro? You want to try some sliders?
I don't know if they still do this, but Hard Rock Cafe back in the day when I used to go there, that when you enter your table information and gave them your name, it says now come to the stage, and they say your party name instead of saying like
your name,
now come to sit down or whatever. They do the whole
welcome to the stage.
It's even worse, and I kind of like these places because some of these guys are really funny. If you've ever been to them, I forget the name of them. They have the Hamburger Mary's. It's a chain where the wait staff is like extremely rude and insulting to you.
Oh, a Dick's Last Resort.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, they got one in San Antonio. I'm surprised that Sherry and Mitch didn't go.
There's one here by us too.
They make paper cone heads and write insults on them, right?
Well, no, they usually. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, if you have like a party of eight, they'll give like one set of silverware.
Oh, I see. Well,
yeah, assholes with the table of eight, your seats over here, dickheads. You know what I mean, like that kind of thing.
Yeah, but see, like, I wouldn't
curse
like that.
At you, and they're really rude, but like they. But all of it's like pre-print. It's kind of like when you see a comic who has a pre-rehearsed heckler put down. That's right. All these guys have. They just have a whole lot of pre-rehearsed insult type bits.
Yeah, it's crowd work.
Yeah, basically. So, but yeah, like those kind of restaurants, like those have, I guess, a thing to it, but at the same time, I'm not coming to a place because you people have spunk and personality. I'd rather just come for the food.
Their food is actually exquisite.
Exquisite?
How often does John the Laser Sanzeri say that food is exquisite at?
I don't know. I didn't know you knew what that word meant.
No, he knows what exquisite means. I mean, he's once called Hooters wings exquisite. So yeah, he has a palate on that. The boy's got a palate on him.
Johnny knows what good food is.
He does.
I like to put on record that John the Laser Sanzeri has never said that about Hooters wings.
Laser on this fucking show. Your cakes,
John.
All right, Johnny Cakes the Laser Sanzeri.
John, that's right. The same John that went to a saliva show at a strip club.
Yeah,
has a very refined palate.
Johnny Cake Sanzeri, the one that went to a place called Rachel's, which was a combination strip club five-star steak restaurant.
Yeah, I know. I know what it was.
No, you don't, because we never went. You guys didn't want to go. Yeah. I had to go to another birthday without you guys.
Yeah, you know why I didn't go?
Because nobody wants to go to a five-star restaurant that's also a strip club.
But it was fantastic.
Was it exquisite, you shit ass?
Yes, because...
Was it exquisite?
It's like, okay, take a Ruth Chris and then put it next to a strip club and like build a and then build a roof connecting both buildings.
You're going to destroy
and that's what
John.
Rachel's is.
He's very sensitive.
I think boneless wings from Applebee's are exquisite.
Oh God,
nah, yeah. Those are horse shit.
Get okay, Hooters the next person that says the next person that says the word exquisite, I'm going to start swinging.
So then when I go up to see what's the prerequisite?
Two.
Oh yeah, Maul has John a new nickname, John the Foodie Sanzeri.
There you go.
Can you get a warning Yelp critic shirt for us, John? That would be great. Thanks.
Oh, I like let you guys know I'm a Yelp critic.
Oh, that's good.
Boogers and come for you, John.
So, all right. So I wanted to play this video here. It's called there's a bunch of these videos where people are doing impressions of celebrities. But this guy does a whole new take on it. It's called Celebrity Nano Impressions. And it's celebrities doing mundane things. And the impression only for a few seconds. Well, let me just play it here.
All right. Very nice. Very nice indeed.
All right.
If you're playing a video, I can't see it.
Wait, you can't see it?
Yeah, for some reason, Hangout's not loaded for me.
Really?
Well,
I can. You're on.
Your Ustream is still working, but Hangouts is not.
Oh. Oh,
snap.
Let me try.
Sounds like someone's going to get a one-star review.
What,
but I do see the video on Ustream now.
No, I'll pop it up. Don't worry about it. I don't know what happened to my Hangout.
I see the Ustream video now, and I know exactly what video you're talking about. This guy's great.
Yeah, it's called Nano Impressions, and here, let me. Now I got to fix it because Hangout's being stupid. All right, I'm going to start playing the video. You guys can listen. This is Justin Timberlake thinks a wave is for him.
Oh, hey. I thought you were.
Al Pacino misses a straw with his mouth.
Hey, where are you? Come on.
George Clooney tries to get a word in.
You know, creatively, okay. Well.
Antonio Banderas.
Hold on, I think we need a visual for this.
No.
Okay, yeah. Let me, I'm trying to get in a Hangout. Hangout's not working for me at all.
Well, maybe Hangout should stop being a dick.
It's working for us. Maybe
no, I know. I know. It's my thing, but I don't know why it's doing it.
Well, that's just lame. Could someone else play it on their end?
No, I could play it. It's just...
But then our boys won't see it.
Eh, whatever. We can look up later. As long as the listeners can see it, right?
Yes, everyone can see it but you guys. But now that we've done that. Okay, here it is. All right, I'm just going to start playing the video again. All this work just to play this video and have to find where we were.
All right.
Okay. Okay, back to the Al Pacino misses. Okay.
Where are you? Come on.
George Clooney tries to get a word in.
You know, creatively, okay. Well.
Antonio Banderas forgets his password.
No.
Kevin Spacey.
I think you're Hangout. You're might
Hangout,
be
okay. Stupid.
Kevin.
Oh.
So loud. I don't know.
What is
that's
happening?
A pretty good impression.
Well, hey, what's up? You're on Dutch and Royce.
Hey, what's up? It's Bronx Johnny.
What's up, Bronx Johnny? How you doing,
hey.
Buddy?
Hey. Baba Goo.
What's going on, kid?
What's going on, guys?
Bronx Johnny from High Society Radio, which you can hear every Friday here on morelikeradio.com. What's going on, man? I heard you guys, we never talked to you guys. I know we should because we're all on the same station, right?
Yeah, we do technically work for you guys. It'd be nice to hear from you guys.
Yeah, every once in a while, you know, just say hi, say what's up, you know. But I know you guys just had your pizza party recently.
Yeah, man.
Now, how did that go? Interacting with, tell me about the pizza party first. Was it a $1 pizza party?
It was a $1 pizza party. And fans donated to the Patreon account we had running.
Nice.
And they came through. We got the money we needed. We raised the funds and we had it at a karaoke spot, Korean karaoke spot. It was pretty weird, but it was nice.
Now, what's
did you up and sing any songs?
Yeah, what's your go-to karaoke song, Johnny?
I'm gonna be honest with you. I like to sing Cocaine Blues. They did not have it. I went for a fucking Motorhead song and it did not go well. I like four words. I tapped out. Couldn't do it.
You go
did
deep.
Did not have the strength for that shit.
You go deep with your karaoke.
I was gonna say, I used to try to keep it to the hits. Like, my usual go-to is Getting Jiggy With It by Will Smith, because that's fun and easy. And everybody's like, oh, my God, he actually knows all the words.
Yeah, that's embarrassing. Well, okay, I'll embarrass myself.
That's a bit scary that you, like, do you wear, like, a fucking shiny green jacket? That'd be awesome.
Dude, I have it in my trunk just in case I go to karaoke.
My go-to when I used to do karaoke was Vanilla Ice, Ice Ice Baby.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Well, you have your constants. Yeah, you got your go-tos. And Shimon's is just Cocaine Blues, and I like beer. I forget who sings that one. That's a pretty good one.
My go-to is Zoot Suit Riot, Cherry Poppin' Daddies.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's my
wow. So,
surprisingly,
sing for the crowd pleasers.
Yeah, but you have to understand, Hammy used to dress like ska threw up on him, so... You know,
yeah, I'm not gonna lie. When I was in high school, I wore a tie for a slight spell there.
Yeah, I know. I know you did. And
you really did that, huh? Damn, ballsy, man.
For a little bit. I did that. I also had the wallet chain. I was like a chameleon with style because I never friends. I floated through all of the people in high school. You know how you have those cliques? I was part of all of them. Yeah. I was like the snitch between everybody.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, I mean, everybody, you know, I was more a ghetto kid. I used to own South Pole because my parents couldn't afford sometimes to get me the real good stuff.
So you're Puerto Rican, so that explains both.
I'm cute.
You fucking look good in what you got, you'll be all right, man. It don't really matter the brand, it's how you wear it.
Yeah, that's true. Right. I was rocking South Pole Husky section from Sears. Because
Sears, big bucks,
dude. Had to walk by the lawnmowers and shit, but fucking, I rock at South Pole all day. Carl Kanai, and I throw on some Timberlands, you know, whatever. That's how I used to rock it, though. Listening to some 50 Cent, Get Rich or Die Trying. Get Rich or Die Trying. Bought that shit at BrandsMart.
Damn, son, yeah, we fucking aging ourselves and shit. We need that young demographic.
Good point. That's a good point.
Damn.
Yeah, so guys, did you hear the latest Drake track? It's awesome.
Yeah, that Canadian guy sure can hum a tune.
Hum a tune.
Fucking hum other things too, I bet.
Hey, you leave Drake alone. Drake is an American idol. You leave him alone. He's
a North American god.
Yeah, he is. You know what it is from him overcoming his disability, getting out of that wheelchair, and becoming a rapper? You know how hard that is?
It really
last
is.
Last name Rican, first
it,
name
it really
Puerto.
Is just an American, not American, sorry, a Canadian story.
Yeah, it is. But I don't like the whole Canadian invasion. Justin Bieber, all that horse shit. Like, it's really bothering me.
Yeah, the Hearts did it the right way, son. I don't know what these other guys are doing, but you had Brett, you had Owen, British Bulldog. Yep. They did that shit the right way.
That's
right. Off for a little bit.
Jim the Anvil, Neidhart would come in. Don't forget him. The Heart Foundation, they knew exactly what they were doing.
So, Johnny,
that blue blazer, man.
Are you saying that Drake needs a Stu Hart to show him the ropes?
I think, like, if you go, like, you know how the Israelis have Mossad, Canadians have, like, the Heart Dungeon, right?
That's the same thing. It's the same
thing. It's like national security shit, right?
That's right. Well, I would actually rather fight someone from Mossad than fight someone from the Heart Dungeon, because if you put me in a sharpshooter, I'm tapping right away.
Oh, yeah, son. Well, you gotta flip it to, like, a figure four,
right?
Oh,
you're right. You're right. And then you have to scream, ask him! Yeah, you're right.
I have no idea what you idiots are talking about right now.
Just,
but Johnny,
don't try to lower yourself from the rafters.
Yeah,
Johnny. Johnny, so your last event that you guys just did, how many people showed up for it?
We had a good turn, about 32, 33 people.
Nice.
We were shocked because a couple of couples were there. There were some females. They were like, holy shit, we have like a different kind of fan base than what I thought.
Isn't it crazy? Awesome, isn't it crazy when you find out that women listen? It always freaks me out. I'm like, what?
I feel creepy like when I meet women listeners. It's like, wow, they find me funny. Not attractive, mind you, yeah. But funny.
But you know,
I'll take that.
I feel creepy too, but it's normally because I have my dick out of my pants. But they don't know. You know, I'm eccentric. I'm like a Sean Penn. You know, I try to, when I'm in public, try to do weird things.
You also got a Mexican cartel guy arrested?
Yes, yes, El Chapo. Yeah. That was me.
Oh.
That was me. Spicoli arrested El Chapo. I hope you're happy. But oof. Yeah, that's
not going to end well for him, man.
You're crazy. They put him back in the same prison. He'll be out in another week.
Isn't he getting extradited?
No, I'm saying El Chapo will be fine. Nah, yeah. He won't make it to Brooklyn. They want to bring him to Brooklyn, but that ain't going to happen.
No, probably not. No.
So what were
he'll
you
be
raising?
On the run.
Yeah.
What were you raising money for?
For
what? Oh, just for the pizza party and stuff.
But what was the money of the pizza party going to? Was it going back to the show for something?
Oh, yeah, we were working on getting more equipment. Like, we're trying to get, like, nicer stuff so people can hear us clear. Kind of weird when you're doing stuff on Bluetooth and headset.
Yeah, no, it is. That's a good point. And that's the most expensive part is actually getting equipment. And by the time you're all set, it becomes dated and old is what always happens.
Right.
Oh, dude, like, we got advice when we first started. Like, yo, hey, go to, like, garage shows and use a CB radio. And I'm like, oh. All right. And they're like, an asshole, I'm buying this shit. And then I go to BK Chris and Stanley. And they're like, yo, this shit don't fucking work. Like, I spend money on this.
Hold on. Doesn't Stanley works in the business. He knows what kind of equipment's good to get. He's telling you to go to fucking garage sales?
Well, no. I was like, yo, let me take initiative and let me do this shit on my own. And I learned a big lesson that day. Don't shit where you eat, man. And I shat everywhere.
Hey, you know what? It's not, you know, you say that, but you could also hear High Society Radio on Police Bands every Friday night if you if you tune it just right.
Shit. We got High Society Radio on Instagram. We have the Patreon. We got High Society Radio on Twitter. Oh, man, fuck. If I knew how to work that shit, I'd tell you, Chief. I don't know how to turn that shit on. I'm like, fuck, where's Randy Quaid when you need him from, like, fucking Independence Day and shit? That's how big he uses that crap. I don't know. I know there's a lot of, like, enthusiasts on that shit. And congrats to them, but it's fucking nuts, man.
Enthusiasts, you're right.
Brilliant reference.
It was really good. That was deep. I liked it. Fucking Randy Quaid.
So what's your go-to pizza topping?
What was that?
What was your go-to pizza topping?
No, we got dollar slices there. There's no toppings for that shit. We got like oregano. We got some garlic. Yo, I bought a bottle of Frank's Red Hot sauce. That shit, that you put that shit on everything is the slogan.
Yeah.
I was pitching the shit out of that. I was like, more like radio and fucking Frank's Red Hot presents dollar pizza. I kept trying to push that shit. It was so expensive.
Jesus. Right.
And what you see, and
this is rough, man.
Here's a life hack, bro. Here's a pro life hack, as the kids say. Oh, when they give you the little Parmesan cheese, you take the lid right off. Just pour
it on.
Yo,
we didn't even get Parmesan cheese, bro.
What?
That was too fancy. That's like get extra cheese. You're like, fuck it, nah, man. You get what you get, and that's what you
can. Fucking Johnny is sitting. Johnny sitting in the corner, opening up Kraft singles and putting it on his pizza.
I was going to say, what the fuck kind of a pizza ghetto party did you, like, attach more like radio to? You don't want people to say,
look, man,
this shit is broke.
I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to be getting funds down the line, boys. We looked like we needed it, and it came off that way.
Nice.
So you're welcome.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I was like, if you'd like to sponsor any of these hungry podcasts, yo, donate to More Like Radio or go to Patreon.
That's
get some
great
motherfuckers up, man.
That, you know what? That's a good thing. Dutch, I want our next live event to be at in my uncle's Buick where he sells stolen speakers. What do you think?
I was going to say, I think I should just park up on the corner of downtown. Town and start begging at this point.
We should just take a tour down the Jersey Turnpike, renting out a church van, and just broadcast live there.
You know what? I kind of like that idea. I kind of like that idea. It's like that. It's like international waters. That way they can't stop us. Oh shit! Oh fuck! Yeah, Johnny. But big fan. We're all big fans of the show, and we check it out. But we really appreciate you guys being on, and thanks for calling in. But I really, really, really appreciate it. I know you guys are busy and shit, but
man, thanks for having us. And like on a more serious note, we just wanted to thank you, Royce, and your wife, and just everybody at More Like Radio for just, you know, fucking taking us on. Yeah, we didn't have too many options, and you guys helped us out fucking big time, man.
Absolutely.
We couldn't have done that party basically without you guys and shit. We met so many people.
That's awesome.
More like radio, and everybody's fucking awesome, dude.
It's crazy, man. That happens. Like when we did our live event, our first one, where we're like, is anyone going to show up? And then you sit there, and there's a whole shitload of people. Like, people fucking listen to us? And it's kind of a weird feeling, you know?
Yeah, but now listening to Bronx Johnny, all I need to do is throw a pizza party. We've been trying way too hard.
We're going to throw a pizza party.
I was going to say, we're booking strippers and bits and things like that.
But you know what? We roll here high class. More like Radio 4 live event, $2 pizza party. Because you know what? We'll throw a toppings.
You're kind of pricing yourself out the market. What are you going to do? Little Caesars?
Little Caesars, and they have a special now where I think you get a free crazy bread. That's not bad. I'll get some fucking crazy bread.
That's out of business. And they're not going to donate. They're going to want shit.
Yeah, everyone that attends MLR Live 4 gets a Kraft macaroni and cheese single serving pack where all you do is just add water. That's not bad.
That's a good one. Kraft.
And if we do the next one, in New Jersey, they have to drive me home.
And first off, it wouldn't.
Not even.
And by the way.
Okay, good one, Judge.
And by the way, Hammy, Kraft, what are you, a fucking millionaire? No, Equate. Fucking Walmart Equate Kraft macaroni and cheese.
I would suggest also serving DiGiorno pizza, but that's too fancy.
DiGiorno?
No, fuck that, son. If they ask you whether it's delivery or it's DiGiorno, you know, fucked up, man.
Yeah.
Way too much.
Home run.
So you got to start out lower. You got to do Red Baron.
Tombstone, motherfucker.
That's it, Red Baron.
Dude, you know what? If you guys want to do something in the summer, we could do dollar hot dogs and shit. That's pretty like in season, right?
I like it.
Dollar burgers.
Dollar hot dogs,
all right, man.
Dollar burgers, you're right, man. I wouldn't trust any ground beef as a dollar.
Yo, all seriousness, MLR Live 4, if and when it ever does happen here in New York, in the New York area, High Society Radio needs to help us out with it.
Listen.
That's awesome.
So whatever you got to do, you only need to ask, and we're fucking there, man.
Here's what we're going to do with Dollar Hot Dog Day, though. BYOB, bring your own buns, because we're going to save a little cash.
Yeah, if you're going for buns and ketchup and shit, you're going way past that dollar threshold.
Yeah, no. You know what? I think we're fine with ketchup, because I have this drawer that's filled with Burger King and McDonald's little ketchup packets. I think I have enough. Yeah. I'll bring them all.
Royce, why don't you just up the ante? Do dollar steaks from the Dollar Tree?
Oh no, dollar steakums more like it.
No, that's we're gonna get.
Oh, that's where you draw the line, dollar steaks.
Yeah, because
you can't set the bar too high.
No meat.
Yeah, no.
You can do hot dogs because that's not really meat, but meat, no thanks.
No, nothing like that. So okay, fine. So my dollar sushi plan wasn't a good idea, but
no, not at all.
Filet of fish in there. All right, Johnny, man, I appreciate you calling in, but
we gotta get a break.
Thanks, bud. We appreciate
it. Thanks a lot, guys. And thanks for the plugs. And again, whatever you need us, get at us. We'll do whatever you need.
Yep. High Society Radio, Friday nights here on More Like Radio. Check them out. They're awesome. All right, guys.
Thanks, Johnny.
Let's go to break. Touch your boot.
Thanks, guys.
More Like Radio! If you weren't able to catch the last Hippo Juice show, here's what you probably missed.
The credibility that they are using as a bouncer at a Colombian strip club. Credibility.
Oh my God, it's hilarious. Let's say it three more times.
Oh, God, to save you, gotta save my soul. Oh, down, bow, down, wow, dilly, wow, down, wow.
Listen to the Hippo Juice Show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on morelikeradio.com.
Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. Right there on the right, stupid.
Oh, hello there. I didn't see you come in. This is Mitch, producer of Dutch and Royce. I just wanted to take a quick moment to remind you why we are better than you.
I took the turkey baster and put it in the glass and sucked up as much pee as I could. I took the turkey baster, after lubricating it in my asshole, and put it up as far as I could in my asshole, and I was repeatedly thrusting it in and out while jacking off and screaming out a boy's name and moaning to make it feel like it was real.
I can't believe.
I then imagined
Sean, did you write this?
I then imagined in my head him screaming, "I'm coming!" And I squeezed the turkey baster ball, shooting all my pee into my ass. I kept taking the turkey baster out and filling it with more pee and shooting it deep into my asshole, making it feel like it was a huge come.
Listen to Dutch and Royce live Tuesdays from 10 to midnight, only on morelikeradio.com.
Are you a fan of comics? What about obscure movies and TV shows? Well then, you are in luck, because every Friday at Nerd Hour is here to talk about those completely and utterly awesome things. So join Punchy, Ariel, and now Cornax as we talk the things that people claim prevent you from getting laid, but are amazeballs anyway. The Nerd Hour, every Friday night from 11 p.m. till 1 a.m. only on More Like Radio. Spoon!
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
By the way,
the Nerd Hour.
The Sully Show.
Masters of None.
360 on 420.
Welcome to the Cut Print Film Podcast.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
OSW Review.
My time now.
It's time for Dutch and Royce. No! Get ready for Hippo Juice.
The Elvis and Albert Show.
Elvin Joe Show.
It's High Society Radio.
You're listening to Atomicast.
More Like Radio! MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Hey, are you sitting around bored on Sundays between noon and two? Well, why don't you check out The Sully Show on More Like Radio? Join myself, JT, Adam, Punchy, Danielle, and Greg for all the humor you can think of, and of course, us making fun of each other. What more can you want? Again, The Sully Show is live Sundays noon to 2 Eastern with replays throughout the week. We look forward to seeing you every Sunday right here on The Sully Show on MoreLikeRadio.com.
MoreLikeRadio.com. Because mean people need to laugh too.
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
The Cousin Joe Show.
We should do the penis monologues.
I could do that.
I think you did.
There was an actual play, the vagina monologues.
That's what I mean. Like,
yeah, but you're saying like what they do in the play. Yeah. I guess it's just them talking about what it's like to have a vagina.
Oh, now I'm curious.
My vagina's angry.
It's from the official version.
Shit.
Wow.
It's pissed off.
There's some passion there.
And
my vagina is furious.
Dennis wrote some dialogue for me. If you don't mind me testing out my acting skills real quick. I'm just going to read some dialogue Dennis wrote.
Wait, do we have like some bongos to play?
Thank you. Cock. My cock. Do you want to? Do you want to see my cock? Look at it. Marvel at it. Here's my Netflix password.
Tune into the Cousin Joe Show live Thursday night, 7 to 10 on More Like Radio.
Did you know you can listen to any of the More Like Radio shows on the go? Download TuneIn Radio on your smartphone and search More Like Radio and never miss a show.
And now a woman who knows about shaming firsthand, supermodel Gigi Hadid.
All right, everyone enjoying themselves? How's that filet mignon?
Good.
You know, we're all here for a really important reason. Because everyone...
Randy, we've got a problem.
What?
Reality's here. He's trying to crash the party. Reality? Who let him in? Shit! Ooh, nice wine, huh? What do you think of that? You know what I think of your pretty flowers? There you go. How do you like that?
All right, buddy, let's go.
I shit on all of you.
Seagal?
Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. Give me that, you stupid bitch. What a lovely charity event. I suppose you're all feeling pretty good about yourselves. Hmm? What have you done? You've raised $300 by spending $500,000 on filet mignon and crystal glasses. Look at you, Vint dipshit. You say fat shaming is wrong, so in response, you show off your abs. You're the one fat shaming, idiot. What's the matter with you people? You're sad that people are mean?
Well, I'm sorry. The world isn't one big liberal arts college campus.
We eat too much. We take our spoiled lives for granted. Feel a little bad about it sometimes. Now, you want to put all your shit up on the internet and have every single person say, hooray for you. Fuck you. You're all pricks.
Back second hour of Dutch and Royce here on morelikeradio.com. Our number is 954-573-2780 if you'd like to get in touch with us. Or go to morelikeradio.com/live to catch us live if you're a podcast listener.
To catch
obviously, we're live every Tuesday night from 10 to midnight Eastern time. What did I want to bring up?
Your dick?
Oh. Yeah, I had a flight canceled on me right before I stepped on the flight yesterday.
Wait, why was it canceled?
I don't know if I said this on the air, but...
You're gay?
I might have said... No.
He's coming out. Yay!
He's coming out.
It's okay to be gay.
From you.
Didn't I mention... I feel like I mentioned to you guys, at least off air on there, that I was going to Salt Lake City.
Yes, you did. You mentioned it on here.
Oh, yeah.
So... I'm all ready for the, flight. So on Sunday, I actually went to the Broncos game, the playoff game where they beat the Steelers barely, which was actually
very happy.
Hey, but they won.
But it was a fun game to be at, especially like when the turnover happened. When the place went goddamn nuts. It was fun. We were able to get seats that were like we were 30 rows back from the field. So we had pretty good seats for only like $200 a ticket for a playoff game. That's not bad.
No, that's it's dirt not. Cheap for
that's
playoff.
That's not. It's really good.
Well, because one of our friends who has season tickets, he knows everybody in the section, and the people who sit right in front of him couldn't go to the game, and they're like, "Well, we don't want to sell our tickets to Steelers fans, so we just want Broncos fans to have our tickets, so we'll sell it at face value. We're not looking for a markup." So
nice.
That's real fandom right there. So so we got it at face value and you know, we're like, fuck it. It's a playoff game. It might be Manning's last game ever if they lose. So let's just go. So we went. And so I had a flight at 8:00 in the morning the next day out of Denver's airport. And I live in Colorado Springs, which just happened to be yada yada. Anyway, so we decided to get a hotel room up, you know, in Denver. We were partying that night, the night before. So we get... Kelsey drops me off at the airport because we were to work it out with her schedule and whatnot that the day I leave and the day I come back that she's not working so she can pick me up. We don't have to have two cars, yada, yada. So I go, you know, check my bag in, which has my tools in it and whatnot, because I'm going for like a 4-day install for, you know, the product that my company, my real job that I do.
Laying some pipe.
And
yeah.
And so... I check my bag and everything like that, and I go through security, and I step on like the little underground, you know, little subway that gets you from terminal to terminal. I get off the terminal and I'm going up the escalator to go towards my gate. My phone rings and it's my coworker, who is kind of like the guy who kind of facilitates a lot of the sales, and he's basically like our sales manager. And he's like, and I was like, why is he calling me? I answer him. I'm like, what's up, dude? And he's like, dude, you're not in Salt Lake right now, are you? I was like, no, I'm about to go to the gate to get on the plane. He's like, dude, the guy canceled.
I was like, what? He's like, yeah, he canceled the install. I was like, what the? What? And he's like, dude, I called you the other day and left you a voicemail telling you that he canceled.
Voicemail? Like, who uses those?
No, you didn't.
But number
like,
one.
Send me an email too. I'm like, no, you didn't. And I'm looking, and I'm just looking down at it, like, and my first, because I know it's canceled. He's sitting there. I wanted to start arguing with him on the phone and be like, dude, you fucking idiot. Like, why wouldn't you, if you knew that it was canceled, why wouldn't you try harder to let me know? But like, my first brain was like, shit, my flight's in 40 minutes. I have to try and run back. So I essentially had to like do this weird shortcut through the subway system thing to get back up to the exit to go to the front gate of Delta and say, hey, I'm not getting on this flight because the whole thing is canceled. Please get my bag off of there. Uh-huh. Meanwhile, I'm also calling my girlfriend.
Oh, no. They had to get your specific bag off?
Exact. Dude, I didn't think any of this shit was going to happen. So, like I said, 40 minutes before my flight takes off, I find this information out. I had to go back to the ticket office. You know, I'm running. So I'm sweating. I'm sitting there going like, hey, look. By the way, there was like a whole line of people checking to check their bags in. Because I went to the ticket like front. I just cut in front of everybody. Mm-hmm. I found the first available person who looked like they weren't really doing something, even though now I'm thinking about it, they were helping a couple. But it was like, yeah, ma'am, hey, look, I'm not getting on this flight and I need this bag to get off because I had like the check ticket.
Right.
Still. So I gave it to her or whatever. And for whatever, this woman was a saint. Like she saw me and she heard everything I said and she was like, okay, hold on. And she like left the people she was helping, went down to the phone. And you know how like we're always criticizing like airlines and, you know, airport right. security. This is like one time where they really did the right thing. And she went out of her way. She like couldn't get clearance to clear the bag. And so she ran in the back and grabbed one of her supervisors to come out to enter the clearance code. All I have to say is that Delta rules. They really went out of their way to help me get my bag off of the plane that was being boarded at the time.
And you didn't have to go to Salt Lake.
And I didn't have to go to Salt Lake.
So how awful would it have been if you got to Salt Lake and you got that voicemail?
Oh, no.
Oh, that's great.
By the way, yeah, dude, that's the only real silver lining because meanwhile, while that's going on, I'm calling Kelsey going, hey, could you please turn around and come back and get me because I don't have a car here, obviously. My flight got canceled. And she's like,
that sounds oddly familiar when I was going to Colorado a month ago.
What happened?
When I was going to go visit, I was going to Denver for work and you guys were.
Okay, I was kidding. I don't care. I'm still finishing my story.
Shut up.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I feel like I told this story to go anyways. But same thing happened to me. They canceled the flight when I was there, and I had to call Mitch to come get me back. I didn't mean to tell the whole story. I just wanted to say that sounded familiar.
No, I called you and say, don't get on the plane. Turn around. Come back. I need to come pick you up because you're not doing the thing.
End of story.
Oh, you found out.
What would have been worse, Dutch, what would have been worse with you is... Like, I guess no one turns off their phones on planes, right? You turn them off or put on an airplane mode as you're leaving the gate, as you're going to the runway. What would have been your reaction if you sat on a plane, they locked up, and then you got the call? That, to me, would have been the worst and the worst flight ever.
Hands down, yeah, that would have been the worst. But luckily, I got it while I was getting off the train that was going to the terminals, and I was able to quickly get back to the terminal. Anyways, long story short, so I'm able to get that done. But, Kelsey had to come. We timed it out to where she could get to her shift. And she's a nurse, a labor and delivery nurse. You can't be late for delivering babies. Like, that's just part of the job, right? Well, then she was already, 45 minutes away from the airport by the time I called her and realized that, oh, shit, can you please come back and get me? So she had to, switch things around. So it was a complete hassle. From the get-go, which, by the way, this was Monday morning when I was getting on the plane. The guy canceled the whole thing Friday late afternoon. And my coworker read the email and forwarded me the or quote forwarded. Here's the thing. In Outlook, you can change the times that emails were sent. I don't know if you guys knew that.
Yeah.
And I think that's what he did. Because I get back to my office later that afternoon, like when we finally, you know, get back, and I walk in, and this is in front of all of my coworkers. And mind you, like, we'll just call him, I don't want to use his real name, Steve. Steve is a tall, well-built black gentleman.
Hot.
And he's our sales guy, and he's very good at what he does. But, like, when he knows he's wrong at things, he goes really black.
Uh-oh.
And he did that to me, but I didn't back down because he was 100% wrong because he got the email on Friday afternoon, didn't forward it to me, said that because he called me and said, dude, I called and you know, you didn't answer. So I left the voicemail. I'm like, no, you didn't, dude. I didn't have a voicemail. I didn't have a missed call. I have a fucking email, not even a goddamn text from you, dude. This is fucking bullshit. And while I'm starting to like call him out in front of everybody, he went all black and got my face. It's like, dude, this is your contact, man. He literally had no defense. And then I was just like, dude, let me just break it down for you for a second, asshole. If I would have done that to you, you would be reaming me out in front of everybody now, and I would have deserved it. Don't think because you're older, taller, and blacker than me that you can sit there and come at me like this. Dude, I was so fucking
older,
mad at
that taller, moment. And blacker. Jesus.
Dude, no, I went all off. That's
a triple threat, man.
I had one of my other coworkers standing between us with his hand, the palms of his hands on both of our chests so we wouldn't fight each other. So
did you guys make up?
So, huh?
Did you make up?
Later in the day, I didn't say anything to him after like the initial blow up. Our boss happened to be in town this weekend, and he wasn't in the office at the time that everything went down. Good, you know, thank God. But so like we kind of cooled down, or our offices are like away from each other or whatever. And, you know, like later in the afternoon when everybody was kind of cleared out of the office during break time, it was just him. He came over to like, you know, where my desk was and was like, yeah, dude, I should have called you and texted you and all that kind of shit. I looked at him. I'm like, dude, yeah, you should have. And then what we did was,
hold on real quick.
This is how we resolved it, Royce, is that
we went to a strip club.
No, we both bonded over hating the guy that canceled it on us at the last second. Mm-hmm. So that's a fun little tip, either coworker or girlfriend or whatever. If somebody else is involved in the story, try and focus your anger and hate on the third person involved, because you can both be like, yeah, he's the fucking asshole.
Find a common enemy.
There's nothing. Exactly. There's nothing better though when people have blowouts, like especially dudes, when dudes have blowouts.
Yeah.
There's always the first person to awkwardly apologize, but they never just go into and apologize. Like they walk up, be like, "Hey man, hey, Phil, did you get that file? Yeah, no, I did. Hey bro, about earlier. You know, I just wanted."
Oh no, dude, that's exactly what he did to me.
I know, I knew it. It's a guy thing.
He started out. He was like. He's like, hey, on a lighter note, and then he started talking to me about like some meeting, like where we ripped apart, like, or I was supposed to be part of this meeting where they ripped apart like one of our vendors who's been fucking us over. So we were able to bond over how much we hated this other guy on top of the other guy who canceled on us. So,
now the guy that canceled, does he get like is there like cancellation penalties or do you get
we're billing him for the price of the ticket times three because of late stuff, inconvenience fee we put on the bill. We put all kinds of shit on there.
So. How about asshole tax?
We basically worded it to basically say you're an asshole and this is how much we're charging you. So
are you allowed to say why he canceled like at the last minute?
We're able to do whatever we want because, you know, it's one of those kind of independent type companies. And we're also dealing with another independent company. So it's like if you want to refute this shit, you can talk to our lawyers. But this is how much we're charging you.
So why did he cancel?
Because he's an idiot.
Oh, okay.
And he's from Salt Lake.
Okay.
Well, that's true.
It's funny you mentioned it. There was a asshole story at my job a couple of weeks ago. With my job, it involves taking over control of a station on a network. you fire a computer program that basically hacks the system and you have control over whatever goes on over the air on that station. So whenever sporting events comes on, like let's say if someone's doing Today Show Radio or whatever, that's the station that the game's going to be on. You fire a program we call a macro and you take control of the station. You do your game, whatever. One person, we'll just name her Erica. Erica got to her station late, for starters. And her station was, let's say, station number 3. And the macro she fired was for station 4.
So she fired
a macro to take control of the wrong station.
Oh, no.
And it was dead air for a good 15 minutes on the network. And it wasn't
15 minutes is an eternity in radio.
By the way, are we allowed to say, for listeners who may not know what you're talking about, allowed to say where you work?
Yeah, you could say it.
Yeah, you see, he works for Sirius XM.
So, and normally, like, the sporting events, like NFL, for instance, are on, like, traffic channels. You listen on the channels, like, usually it's, like, Boston, New York traffic station or whatever. That's going to be, like, the Patriots feed or whatever. So, this feed that she fired wasn't for the traffic station. It was for Mad Dog Radio, which oh, wow. is one. It's, so there was dead air.
Chris Russo's station.
So this dummy took control of the wrong station, and there was dead air on a very high profile station for a good 15 minutes before she finally wow. realized her error. And above all else, when she finally did get into the game, it was an NFL game, by the way. It wasn't just like college basketball or the HSRN, the Negro College League stations. This was the NFL.
Jesus.
No, that's what they're called, the Negro College Leagues. So this was an NFL feed, and it was a very high-profile game. So she barely tracked any highlights because the job that we do involves tracking highlights and sending the highlights and the audio to the newsroom where they come to promos and yada, yada, yada. She did track maybe 2 highlights and both of them were field goals. Mm. No touchdowns, no big passes, no nothing.
So needless to say, she no longer has a job.
No, she still does, surprisingly.
How?
So, I don't know. But so to recap, she was late for her shift. Took control of the wrong station, was dead air on Mad Dog Radio for a good 15 minutes, and she didn't take the proper highlights of the game, which was coincidentally the New England Patriots feed. Tom Brady touchdowns, Gronkowski passes, nothing. She just tracked field goals.
So basically, she's an HR nightmare because of the color of her skin.
And what made it great was, like, my supervisor is usually very calm. And he'll send like an email saying, look, guys, like, you can't be retards like this. The people in the guys in the newsroom who eventually do get all the highlights and track and make the promos and shit. The guy came up and was screaming at the top of his lungs at her like, this wow. is the New England Patriots feed. Are you a fucking retard or something? You can't track Tom Brady's Jeez. Touchdowns. How hard is it be? You're paid to listen to sports. Yeah. Like,
wow.
Oh, boy. Yeah. In a way, like. My job's fucking easy. Like, we're paid to listen to sports. Like, it's not that difficult. But yet you make Mad Dog Russo very angry by taking control of his feed and it's dead air. And you don't track Tom Brady.
Was it actually Chris Russo himself who got mad?
No. I mean, he eventually found out. He was pretty pissed. But it just so happened that one of the vice presidents of the entire programming department was also listening
to that.
So it didn't, you know, go well for this girl. So yeah, that was a dumb poker story.
Yeah, but she doesn't care because she has a pass.
What were you saying, Sherry?
I said in her defense, I would find it really difficult to do that job. Try not to fall asleep.
Yeah, because you don't like sports and you're also an alcoholic.
And also the girl has a second job and works for ESPN. So she knows a thing or two about sports.
Sorry, wino.
Why do you have to track down what happened during the game? Isn't there a million other people that do the same and you could Google it?
Run the actual audio.
It's getting the audio from there. So when the guys are doing like their live updates of, Brady threw for whatever. And then they cut to the announcer going,
basically,
you know, Brady drops back and he hits Gronkowski for the score. Right. It's like
basically,
that kind of shit.
Yeah, basically my department is the first line where most of the highlights get tracked. And if we somehow miss it, then another group of people get it. And it's. When there's NFL, NASCAR, college football, college basketball, everything going on in one day, there's a lot of things that need to be tracked. So Yeah, the one girl just like
it's for the voiceover dudes who do the highlights and whatnot. So
yeah,
and if they don't have that, especially for an NFL playoff game, that's a big fuck up.
That's pretty bad.
That is huge.
Well, I guess speaking of work related fuck ups, I had my old boss that I recently got fired and accused of theft. He text messaged me over the weekend, asked me if I was going to a comic convention, and it just turned into me answering all my questions with, "Gee, I don't know if you can afford it with all the GoPros you accused me of missing." Like, I was like, "Are you sure? Is this a joke? Are you really talking to me right now?"
Why was he asking you?
Because he wanted to go to this comic book convention, and I guess he thought I was the in. But I'm like, why I'm the last person you'd be talking to. Like, I don't know if this is grounds of you. I don't think you should be talking to me right now. And it was as if like I was, hey, yeah, I'll see you at work tomorrow. It was like it was almost like we were like, yeah, no, I'll see you at the water cooler. Like, no, you accused me of stealing a lot of money and you're talking to me about if I'm going to go see Bill Nye the Science Guy give a Q&A.
Well, are you?
No.
Bill.
Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Science rules.
Hearing your story just reminded me of when I first started radio, when I was working at the radio shopping show. Basically, we didn't have a phone screener. It was just the DJ, and then you had the whole shopping information. And anybody who called in, you answered them, and there was a button that you pressed that basically the caller, only the DJ could hear the caller, but nobody else in the air could hear him. And I would, I would ask, "What's your shopper number?" And if they didn't have one, I would quickly ask, and you did this all on the air. I would quickly ask, "Okay, what's your name? What's your address?" And I would enter that in. That's how boring the show was. But people would actually listen to this kind of shit.
It was like radio QVC.
Basically. But the thing is that you have to make sure that the button is depressed in, that no one on the air, this is FCC airwaves. You can't have a listener who's on the phone giving out the personal information. Well, my first week there, I got the buttons mixed up and I was hitting basically the mute button for me on the air.
Oh no.
And it wasn't the mute for them. It was the mute for my mic. So the only thing they heard, the listeners would hear, be like, "John Fogarty, 554 North Carolina Lane, Colorado Springs, Colorado."
Oh, shit.
"My credit card number." Yeah, okay, it's 55556.
Oh, no.
Dude, I did that for three shifts in a row where I was muting me, but not the caller to the listeners.
Oh, no.
I didn't get fired for it because I had a good personality. And they were going, "We'll wait for a lawsuit." That's what they said.
Did they?
Dude, my old bosses ruled. They didn't give a fuck because they're like, whatever, it's late night AM radio. The only people listening are people who the sleep meds haven't kicked in yet. So,
yeah, well, that actually reminds me of another story that happened at work. There was a guy doing board hopping for NBA radio. And this is right when the playoffs were happening last season. So I don't remember who was in the finals or whatever, but it was one of the high profile finals games. They were doing their live show, yada, yada, yada. All of a sudden, the replay of the previous show started playing underneath the live show. Ooh. And the board op for a good half an hour forgot to turn off the replay server and kick in the live server. So they had both the live show and the replay going on the same audio channel. And needless to say, the host eventually noticed what was going on and they weren't too happy with it.
How often does that happen at a place like SiriusXM? Because you assume that place is, one of the considered one of the more premium type of radio areas.
Honestly, God, very rarely does a fuck up like that magnitude happen.
Okay.
Very rarely. They're usually not popping their shit there. Yeah.
I was going to say, because it happened all the time with when I was working in regular terrestrial radio, just every day something happened.
Nah, they're usually good on top of their shit there. But once in a while, like some people don't fire the right macro and take control of their proper stations. Once in a while that happens, but you know, it's really the easiest job in the world to do to work in my department.
Yeah. Any more major job fuck ups? You guys have anything? No.
Oh yeah, I got one. I fucked up good a couple weeks ago.
Who did you kill?
No, I didn't kill anyone.
Oh.
So my job is to take two people talking over, you know, the phone or Google Hangouts or whatever, and then they send me the two files, and then I cut them together and put them into a radio show. Well, for whatever reason, when I was lining everything up between where the intro plays and it starts to fade out and then their audio kicks in, I missed cutting out their beginning banter before the radio show started. So they're talking about, hey, dude, what's going on? Blah, blah, blah. You know, oh, yeah, no, I got all these things going on and stuff. You know,
have you seen Debbie? She's so fat.
So what are we going to do today? Oh, I think we should talk about this, blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay, cool.
Oh, no.
All right, and welcome to.
No.
This guy was hilarious. Happy.
He was a little upset.
No. He was pretty upset, and he's one of the bigger producers for our company. Like, he brings in a lot of money for our company.
Oh no.
It's not happy.
To be fair, he should have listened to it before he sent it out.
How long was it up before you caught it and changed it?
He listened to it on the air. He listened to it on the radio.
Oh no.
No.
Ooh, it's bad.
It was bad.
Oh no. What radio? FM?
It might have been AM, it might have been FM. I don't remember which one.
Okay.
But
can you tell me off air who it is?
You won't know who he is. He's a guy in Arkansas.
Oh, okay.
So, I remembered one. When I was 19, 20 years old, I started doing inside sales for Cordis, Johnson & Johnson. It's a medical company, and Cordis was one of their sub-companies. And
so you were selling drugs?
Well, no. I was an inside sales, so I would support...
He was an intermediary.
I would support the outside salespeople. Like, they would call in, you know, they would give me shit they needed ordered, all that bullshit.
Rub their shoulders, pat their back.
Right, right. And they used to call me, and they used to have me do like consignment, which was basically they would lend a hospital, not lend, but you know, they would stock up a hospital like on 100 different medical devices, right? Because they're there, if something happens, the doctors use it, then they bill them for whatever was used, you know? So they would, you know, my job was to take it out of the system, put it into the system. They used to fax me and call me all the time. When they showed me how to do it the first time, I never understood it, so I never did it. So all this inventory was off and wrong. I'm talking hundreds of thousands of dollars.
This is like medical shit.
Yeah, I'm talking hundreds of thousands of dollars for this. No, because I supported six salespeople, so millions of dollars, because I just didn't feel like doing it. And I was getting paid shit there anyway, but wow. I stayed at that job for a year before they fired me, and I did nothing there. And wait, even better. Before I had that job in inside sales when I was 18, I worked at Cordis too. It's that same company, but I started there in the documentation department, which was basically my job was they had like, this is before, you know, everything was on the internet. So they had like these humongous file cabinets with different medical device patents on them. And, you know, like they were what they did and how they worked and all this shit. My job was to, they would give me them after they were used, and I would file them back where they were supposed to be. Well, it was too confusing, and I didn't feel like doing it, so I used to just grab all the papers and stuff them in my desk above, like this.
You were the worst employee ever.
Worst or best?
How do they let you around, like, medical equipment and...
I wasn't around medical equipment. I was around paperwork. Anyway, so when I would finally file it, I would just stuff them anywhere. Like, I wouldn't put them where they were supposed to go. I'd just shove them anywhere in the filing cabinet. And one day they found out.
You're not a good employee.
You're a terrible employee.
And when they found out, that was another year, when they found out...
And you just knew the day was going to come.
I didn't like the job, and I don't want it. So anyway, I was there, and they paid shit there too. But anyway, I would work there, and I remember my boss at the time was David Perkins, and he was like this older, like Wisconsin looking guy, fatter dude, glasses, gray hair. And he's the kind of dude that he would, like, you know, I knew he was looking around through my stuff to see if he would find that I was hiding files. Like, I had this little, like, I don't know how to explain it, but at my cubicle at the top, it had like this filing thing that would open up, you know, and you could put shit in there. So I used to just put like stacks and stacks of papers in there that I didn't file. And I had a suspicion that he was coming by at nighttime and just checking to see if I was hiding them. So I got, this is true, I've never said this, I got a sticky note, and like a fucking spy, I drew a line on it, like where the door met closed. So the only way to open it, you would have to move the paper. And if you put it back, I know that he was looking in there at nighttime.
Oh, no.
So when I came back one day, like a detective, I found out that the paper had been moved. So I was like, oh, he's going to come and talk to me about this. But he would come and be like, hey, so let's just have a talk. Like, and then he would come, oh, what's up here? Like, even though he knew it was there, but just to make me say it, that I wasn't doing shit. So, yeah, that's pretty much what I did. He wasn't too happy. He fired me.
How did he do it? He'd be like, you're a fucking idiot. Get out of here. Or
no.
Hey, look, Royce.
My mom.
I don't think this is going to be working out.
My mom was a higher up in the company at the time. So they had to be nice to me.
That's why
you
had the job.
They had to be nice. Of course, they had to be nice to me, but they still fired me. And then I came back after even being fired from there and worked at the same company again and got fired from that other job.
You were the type of employee that you would see me bitching to you guys in the Fargo chat about.
Yeah, but here's the point. 18, 19, I don't want the job and I'll never do it. It's not a job I could do. I cannot sit and file stuff. I hate that. You know, this is many, many years
working ago. In restaurants. I was the worst employee to the place, but also the worst person ever to deal with the customers.
Were you that bad at them?
It's the worst. Well, I told you the story of how I fucked with people's foods that when they sent it back.
Yes.
Numerous stories.
Oh, everybody does that, though.
One time I was waiting tables and the party of seven, it was like a $200 check. And they left me a $1.50 tip.
What?
So I walked back as they were leaving the restaurant and again into their Maserati out in front. I said, you obviously need this more than I do. And I threw it right back in their face and walked
right. Oh, just like the movie Waiting.
Thank you. Exactly. That movie is not a comedy. It's a documentary. Just watch Waiting if you want to know what.
All my friends have said the exact same thing about the movie. I mean, it was funny to an extent, but unless you've been a server, you would never get that movie.
That's why it's one of my favorite movies. But yeah, that and whenever the, you know, 5 second rule happened, whenever anyone sent back their food and said, oh, I want you to make it again, especially if it was busy during a shift, we would purposely just drop the food on the floor, not fully cook the vegetables and do anything possible to fuck with these people's food. And I hate rehashing, but the worst I ever did was jerked off in a woman's blue cheese dressing.
You actually did that, though?
I absolutely did, dude.
Because, I mean, like, that's the common joke that everybody, you know, whatever, put it in your ass or you jerk off on it. But you actually did it.
I was young. I recently lost my virginity. I was horny as hell all the time. And a woman sent back her chicken salad with blue cheese dressing three different times. And I said, fuck this cunt. And I went and jerked off in the walk room.
Like an angry
three jerk. Different times.
Three different times she sent it back. And I said, fuck this bitch. And I jerked off in her dressing.
So
and
you got a boner because of how angry you were? Or
no, I got a boner because of the girl I just recently lost my virginity to. And I managed to somehow jerk off really quickly in the walk-in fridge. And went out of the kitchen and watched her eat the whole thing.
It's awesome.
But that's the worst I ever did. But yeah, working in restaurants is the worst ever.
I've never done it.
When I was younger, my dad used to own this little like cafe restaurant called Whitaker's. And it was, he used to sell like, you know, like baked goods and
drugs.
Baked goods, hot dogs and, you know, shit like that. And I remember when I was little, I was there and this lady came back and she was like really just annoying old lady. She said, I don't like this hot dog. So my dad, he made it again. He's like, here you go. And she goes, I still don't like it. So my dad, third time, went to the back, cut the hot dog down the middle, wiped it on the floor. like, you know, from the middle, put it back in the bun and then filled it with mustard in the middle part. And then she ate it, and I swear to God, said she loved it. It's the best hot dog she's ever had.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
It's so weird.
So now I know where I get my shit from.
The floor.
The floor. Mostly the floor. fuck.
How do we get down this rabbit? Oh, that's right, yeah.
You didn't go to Salt Lake City, that's how.
I didn't go to Salt Lake City, no. Thank God.
I wanted to find out if, like, that leaning law or that
part
standing
of me,
law.
Part of me still, you know, I'm a little bummed by it, but at the same time, dude, going on some of these trips, especially with a place like Salt Lake, it's just like I was dreading it leading up to the whole thing.
What about Sherry? You ever had a fucking horror story?
None that I can completely remember, but I'm sure I've had fun. But I did ask one of our agents last week how his peanut was doing, and he's like, "What am?" And I was like, "Oh, you know, your little one.
Your peanut?
Your peanut?"
He heard penis.
I heard penis too. That's what I. Why was?
And I was completely mortified because his dad, who he works with, was right there.
Okay, so first of all,
so again, these guys that she said this to, they are big producers in the company. They bring it, and they
want. Oh my goodness!
Room. And Sherry's like, she goes to the kid. He's like in what, his mid, his 30s
we'll,
or so.
We'll call him Cody, and I was like, oh, Cody, how are... And these people love me. I was just at their office a few months ago, and I was like, oh, Cody, how are you? I was like, how's your peanut doing? And he's like, what?
It's like,
I was like, you know, your like, little one.
Your little one. And she's kind of pointing, like, her hand is down kind of, like, by her crotch.
Like,
I'm
cringing for you right now. Oh,
and he was like, Jesus. And then his dad figured out what happened because him and his dad are partners, and... His dad burst out laughing, and then Mitch burst out laughing.
First of all, who refers to somebody's child as a peanut?
Sherry does.
I refer to babies as peanuts.
How about you just say, how's Cody doing?
No. Sherry, I didn't know his kid child's name.
You say, how's your
kid? Sherry.
How's your kid doing?
Sherry.
Or how's your son doing?
Everyone else, yes, just free. Shut up for a second. Sherry, you say penis when you say peanut. Just stop it. It doesn't matter how many times you say it, you're saying
you're
penis.
You're always saying penis.
I thought you said it too
just
at first.
Just know it again, now Sherry? Is no longer your thing.
Say it again.
Would you like to taste my peanut?
No, you're not saying.
You want to know why? It's because you don't say nut. You say knit.
Would you like to taste my sweet peanut?
No, see,
no,
sweet.
You're not saying it right. She says peanut.
Would you like to pet my kitten?
Kitten, peanut. It's not it's peanut.
I love a handful of peanuts.
Mitch and I just got some nice new curtains in the bedroom.
Oh, stop it.
I hate you.
and pretty soon we're going to be getting a new shower door because she ripped the other fucking one off the handle. Because
I'm swole as fuck.
What the hell?
I was cleaning our shower while talking to my grandma, and suddenly I dropped. The door kept going backwards when it shouldn't have been going anywhere, and suddenly it ripped off the top hinge, and I dropped my phone trying to catch the door, and I'm screaming and I'm yelling. I'm like, Mitch! Sorry, grandma! Sorry! Fucking A! Mitch, hurry up!
So at what point did Professor Xavier, like, knock on your door and saying, hello there?
Oh, Mitch just walked in with the door.
If you're not watching the light,
I would
is that the door?
I would like you to know that I fixed the mold problem and talked.
So as you can see, I can't take a shower at home anymore. Now I have to go to the gym.
Because, oh no, how did you do that?
Because you swole as fuck, did you hear?
Yeah.
You're literally standing there with a shower door.
The top part, I think, was already like slowly thinning and rotting away. So
I love it. Because I'm swole as fuck.
So that was our week.
No, hold on. Sherry was telling us off air because they weren't on the show that you used to live in a junkyard.
Yeah. Oh, so I was listening to last week's show this morning, and you guys were talking about like people who live in junkyards, and I'm like, I basically grew up in a junkyard.
So we're talking about how to make a murderer.
Yeah, making a murderer.
Right, but you're talking about junkyards and people living in junkyards or something.
You lived in a junkyard?
Basically, well, I hate to say that because I love my dad to death, but we had at least 4 broken down snowmobiles. He still has 4 broken down snowmobiles, 2 broken down boats. a 1954 that doesn't run, or I don't think ever will. There used
1954
to be
a, what?
No, it was a 1940 Ford. That's all 19, I know.
Okay, okay. 40 Ford.
Sorry.
A 40 Ford. A 40 Ford.
And there used to be a stove that we put in the backyard that our chickens made a home in. And my dad has at least three vehicles that he uses on a regular basis. Most of them kind of run.
Kind of run?
Oh, there's
run. Barely run.
There's also a Firebird in the garage that's up on blocks and doesn't run.
Oh, you got a Firebird.
Oh, yeah, you got a Firebird, don't you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Minnesota is the Alabama of the North.
Oh, I don't know.
Mitch, what else is in my yard? My dad's yard.
Well, I mean, the one boat is a dumpster because it's just full of garbage.
The
it's
one literally. Boat. Okay, there's it's
one
oh
boat.
My God.
He has two boats in the yard. One of them
kind of works.
One of them kind of runs. The other one doesn't, so he just throws garbage in it. Literally, he throws garbage in it.
What?
Oh, so it's a trash barge. So
it's in the front yard.
It's a garbage boat.
It's behind the pine trees.
You have a garbage boat.
Yeah.
It's a
trash boat.
It's a garbage
boat. Hey, what's up there, trash boat?
In Minnesota.
Oh, I think there's like two or three lawnmowers.
Yeah.
How many of them work?
One of them works. Kind of.
Oh, there's an old swing set in the backyard that we hung a old piece of carpeting up on that we
oh my God, I'm so glad you said carpeting.
Why?
Well, sorry, go ahead.
I don't get it.
Yeah,
what no. You mean you want to get first side of French fried potato that I can make me some lawnmower parts.
Poor little feller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, carpeting.
There was no
and then I would shoot arrows at it because the carpeting was slowed on my arrows if I missed the target when I was
oh, lawnmower, don't worry, ain't got no gas in it.
So you used to shoot arrows through carpeting like some sort of jungle woman.
Well, I mean, there
well, no, not through carpeting, but carpeting on a boat.
On a boat.
No, on a swing set.
No, the carpeting was on the swing
set. Oh, that would be ridiculous on a boat,
oh,
Dutch.
You're right. Yeah, that's just crazy for me to say.
Come on,
Royce.
Sorry. Pay attention.
Yeah, we apologize.
I can shoot a bow and arrow off of a boat now. I have that ability.
Well, you can ability. Ask if you can turn half the boat into a DJ booth.
Like, Mitch, how does it...
our one's first venue.
Mitch, how does it feel to date to be... basically dating a female Punisher. Like, are you okay with that?
It's because I'm so swole, right?
I was going to say she's more like the female version of Daryl from The Walking Dead.
Yeah, yeah.
She is. Well, see.
But with less facial hair.
She is the most normal person out of family. And you guys have met her, so.
Surprise.
That is one thing I love on this show is Sherry family stories.
Sherry's
There's
the type
no
of,
shortage of those.
Sherry's the type of person who a general's going to come up and she's going to be chopping wood and go, "We need you, Sherry." And she's like, "I don't do that anymore." You know, and she, that's
I don't live the life no more.
We need you to save Alyssa. We need you to save your daughter, Alyssa Milano.
But
I don't like them kind of cookies.
So that's not bad. That's a lot of junk. Who cares? That's fine. That's a lot of projects, right?
No, it's not fine.
Exactly.
They're not
fine. Exactly.
No, that's fine.
None of them are projects. It's all garbage.
Let's not even talk about
it. No,
the
it needs
basement.
To go. It's all of it.
He did. I am proud of him for this. He did take an old industrial size refrigerator and an old stove and combine them into one and made a smoker.
Oh, you're proud of that. Okay, that's good.
Cool. Yeah.
No, see, I thought you were going to say he made it into like a robot.
No, he does make good smoked meat.
The rest of the stove is in the basement, but whatever.
Where does he get his meat from?
Rice.
I
the
kill
Chris
it.
Family hunt ducks in Louisiana.
In the last 4 years.
Yeah. No. Look, it's funny because I'm thinking of my childhood now compared to hers. Like, and Marie knows this. Like, my dad is a super neat freak. Like, we had tile in the house, but we used to have to walk. My dad would make us wear socks in the house. We couldn't be barefoot because our feet would smudge up the tiles. Like, he was crazy about that stuff.
My grandparents were the same.
And it's like, dude, come on.
To this day, my mom makes us take our shoes off.
The only reason my house would ever get cleaned after my parents got divorced, my mom moved out, was because of me. Like, my brother would put pop cans all over. Ooh, when he first moved out, when he turned 18, I was like, yeah, I get to move into the basement now. I'm so excited. I'm all of like 13 years old. So I go down.
Dungeon
there.
Dweller.
Yeah. So I go down there and I'm like, I got to clean up his room because he only took what he needed. And there were so many pop cans. And did you know how bad Pepsi can mold?
Okay, first
no,
off,
why don't you tell us?
First off, it's soda. Don't say pop anymore.
Pop.
You fucking
pop.
Weirdos.
You know, that carbonated beverage, pop. Kind of like the same, kind of like what Leia calls your dad, pop.
Okay, see,
right.
That was
pop is what bubbles do. Pop isn't, it's soda.
It's okay. I call my dad pops too.
I do too, but I would never call him soda.
That's because you don't drink.
Interchange the two.
Yeah, you're right, Dutch. You just can't call it after what it does. What do you call pizza? Triangles? Yeah. Let me get another triangle and a pop.
Hey, I'm going to
get
a... Hey,
man, let me go get a triangle slice.
No, I want to get a box of yummy. Like, just Jerry, it tastes good. You can't just say it that.
No. I mean,
fine, fuck you. I'm going to go get my own triangle.
Good, I'm going to bed after this.
Hey, who wants to smoke some trees later?
Okay, you know... All right, we're time to wrap up, right?
Yeah.
It's midnight. No extra show 2 weeks in a row, guys. Sorry.
After midnight, we gonna let it all hang out.
We're in home, hey.
But anyways, there we go. So we're talking about boats.
Yeah.
I'm
on a garbage Hammy. Boat.
Why are you better?
I'm better than you because I'm boycotting the Oscars because racism.
Oh, good.
Johnny Cakes, why are you better?
I'm better than you because I saw Saliva play Click Click Boom while Sherry on stage 3 was clapping her ass in unison. And juggling LED balls. That was fantastic.
Sherry, why are you better?
Because I'm swole as fuck.
That'd be real life. Bitch, why are you better?
I am better than you because of my hard behind-the-scenes work. I helped High Society Radio put their pizza party on.
There you go.
Good job, bitch.
Mariski?
I'm better than you because I'm sick and I didn't have to talk much tonight.
Thank God. Royce?
I'm better than you because I did not give a fuck about medical devices.
And I'm better than you because I don't have 3 cars, 2.5 boats, three and a half lawnmowers, and a smoker in my front lawn.
Oh, Dutch, can I really quick...
And don't forget the chickens that lived in the stove.
Oh, and the chickens that live in the stove.
Real quick plug here because, you know, we haven't given away a gift in a while. And I got a really good book here that I want to give away. Remember American Idol? Remember Sanjaya?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That jackass with his stupid hair.
I have Dancing to the Music in My Head, the Sanjaya story that I will be giving away to a lucky listener.
Tomorrow on Hippo Juice.
So stay tuned, and I'll explain. We're going to read some passages from it.
We have to have a good contest for that.
Yeah, we are, and we're going to read some passages from it.
Stop for that. That's a good prize.
Yeah. Thank you. You know, guys, I'm putting it back into its sealed container. Okay,
that's
there
a good
it is.
Thing.
No fingerprints.
Like a time capsule?
No fingerprints. All right,
you guys. We'll see you next week on DNR. Trick. I'm on a boat, bitch. I'm drinking Santana shake. Cause it's so crisp. I'm trucks and my flippin' floppies. I'm flippin' burgers. You at Kinko's straight flippin' cabbage. I'm riding on a dolphin, doing flips and shit. It's dolphin splashing, getting everybody all wet. But this ain't SeaWorld. This is real as it gets. I'm on a boat, motherfucker. Don't you ever forget. I'm on a boat and it's going fast and I got an nautical theme. Pass me the Afghan. I'm the king of the world on a boat like Leo. If you own the show, then you show not Neo.